On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care. What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
You listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? This podcast was not planned. This is an official emergency podcast. Alert your local authorities. This is JP Finley. This is Redskins Talk. We're brought to you by Horseman Automotive of Virginia. The Redskins have made a significant move, bringing in a total PR nightmare and a player that is going to make a lot of people very angry. The 49ers released linebacker Reuben Foster earlier this week after his third arrest this year on domestic abuse charges, and the Redskins claimed him off waivers. Adam Schefter has reported the Redskins were the only team to claim him off waivers. Something that's important to designate, though, just because the Skins were the only team to put the claim in doesn't mean they were the only team interested. I'm guessing there were plenty of other teams interested that didn't want to have to take his contract on. Whereas the Redskins, I believe, want the contract because they want to have this guy in 2019, 2020, and have a possible fifth-year option on Foster in 2021. But I'm getting way too far ahead of myself here. The thing to talk about is, did they just add a toxic player in an era where the NFL is trying to be more cognizant of domestic abuse situations, and players are said to be held to a much higher standard? It's hard to reconcile that with the Redskins' move to grab this player 3 days after he was arrested. There is a lot to discuss here. Pete is here and Mitch are here. What's up, fellas?
Hello, hello.
What's going on, buddy?
I don't believe any of us are shocked by this. I frankly am not even surprised. I know the Skins really like Reuben Foster. So a little bit of background. Reuben Foster was a first-round pick in 2017. He had the talent to be a top-10 type pick. He was a star linebacker at the University of Alabama. He was talked about with Jonathan Allen as guys that were going to be drafted very high in that draft. Remember, the Skins got Allen when he slipped because of shoulder concerns. With Foster, the concerns were, leading up to the draft, he got into a fight with somebody at the hospital and failed a drug test. So before any of the domestic stuff, there were already concerns about Foster. In the time since he's been in San Francisco, there have been three situations. He's already been suspended once this year for a non-domestic situation. And, oh, yeah, the NFL has placed Foster on the exempt commissioner's list. He will not be playing. He will not be at practice. He will be nowhere to be seen for the remainder of this season. However, the Redskins retain his rights. Pete, I know you have it. Before we dig into our reaction and everything that surrounds this, Doug Williams put out a statement on the Redskins grabbing Foster off the waiver wire. Pete, hit it.
Today, we have claimed the rights to linebacker Reuben Foster. The Redskins fully understand the severity of the recent allegations made against Reuben. If true, you can be sure these allegations are nothing our organization would ever condone. Let me be clear. Reuben will have to go through numerous steps, including the full legal process, an investigation, and potential discipline from the NFL, as well as meetings with counselors associated with the team before he will ever have the opportunity to wear the burgundy and gold as a player. That being said, we decided to investigate the situation with Ruben further by claiming his rights after candid conversations with a number of his ex-Alabama teammates and current Redskins players who are overwhelmingly supportive of us taking this chance. Nothing is promised to Ruben, but we are hopeful being around so many of his former teammates and friends will eventually provide him with the best possible environment to succeed, both personally and professionally. Doug Williams.
Nothing is promised to Ruben. To me, there are two very, very different scenarios to discuss. And some will argue that these shouldn't be separated, and I'm not sure I even disagree with them. But I think there's the football situation to discuss and then the personal situation to discuss. I say we start with the personal because that's the more that's certainly the more controversial, and if the charges are true, the more abhorrent situation. The personal situation with Ruben Foster is bad. I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. I think a lot of fans are going to react in a way that they are disgusted with the team signing him, and frankly, I think those fans have a legitimate voice. I think this is, on the surface, looks like a very, very bad PR move. I'll let you guys respond. I don't know if you see it differently. Of course, there's a legal process. Of course, there's the league and the courts have to adjudicate this thing. But this is three times this has happened this year, and it looks terrible on the surface.
I think the Redskins look at it as somewhat of a win-win's not the right word, I guess, but they sign him for, you know, they have control over him for two more years. If all this ends up being shenanigans like his last TV case ended up being, then, you know, then they got a player who is a special player that could end up doing something great for them, and they have control over him on his rookie deal. And if it turns out that, you know, he is who he seems to be or who is being claimed to be, and, you know, he has a case of domestic violence against him, and it's, you know, proven to be an issue, then the Redskins can cut him, and there's no skin off their teeth, I'm sure, is the way they're looking at it. In the short term, it's certainly a PR hit. I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow for fans who, you know, who support the Redskins, you know, to deal with signing a guy with this kind of baggage under his name.
Yeah, this move. Yeah. This move kind of lines up. It's all different circumstances, of course, but it's a little similar to signing a Caleb Brantley or signing a Junior Gallet or, you know, even Adonis Alexander. Of course, it's totally different level, but a guy with marijuana and academic issues and eligibility. These are moves the team is making a lot more in recent years, where they take on guys with baggage or off-field issues and hope that it turns out well. But while those three I just mentioned felt like kind of low risk, low reward, this one feels like the stakes are a lot higher because the charges are more serious. They're more constant. He's had a lot more trouble. And while he could be a high potential player for them, it feels like this choice, like we decided, should we talk about the football first, the personal stuff first? And I think talking personal stuff first is right, because I don't know if we'll ever even see the football stuff, because he's just had so many issues in the past 2 years, and he just keeps committing problems and getting himself into bad situations. So I don't know if we'll ever have the chance to see the football upside payoff, you know?
Well, and I'll add to you that, you know, you listed those other names, and while there's some correlation, like, I don't think it's fair to Adonis Alexander to be lumped in with that.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Adonis Alexander smoked weed in college and got bad grades. You know?
Right, right. And I didn't want to lump them in. I just feel like off-field issues are kind of the big umbrella, you know?
Right. I hear what you're saying, but this is also extremely fresh. A lot of that other stuff, like Caleb Brantley, I believe, was cleared of things, and it happened 18 months ago. Ruben Foster was in jail last weekend. You know what I mean? Like, I think the Skins jumped on this so that they could retain the rookie contract. And to me, this is very obviously, well, especially now that he's been put on the exempt list, this is a play for 2019, or it's a play for nothing. And it is from a street football perspective, it's no risk. Outside of the PR hit, there's no risk involved. They don't have to use a roster spot for him because he's going on the exempt list. They let him try to sort this stuff out with the courts and the league, and then if that all gets cleared, they then bring him into a locker room full of dudes he played with at Bama, and you'd like to think, my guess, and we've talked about Ryan Anderson on this podcast, my guess is that this team would put Foster's locker right next to Anderson, and Anderson would be in charge of staying on him to be a rational human being. But I think that's so far down the road. Reuben Foster, the football player, could help the Washington Redskins football team. But I think we're about 25 steps before that even comes close to happening.
But I think him just being around the team and obviously being on the commissioner's list, he can't practice, he can't go to games, but he's allowed to be around the facility in some terms. And just, I think having that support system of the Bama players, and I don't know the relationships well enough. Obviously, it seems like Ryan Anderson would be one of those guys, maybe Sean Dion Hamilton, that know him just in the linebacker room per se. But just having that support of the team, maybe the Redskins are sitting here hoping that those guys can help prop him up and keep him on the straight and narrow and hopefully, you know, allow him to get by whatever issues he's dealing with now.
Because the thing that's important to point out is he is a star linebacker. He has elite playmaking ability. As a rookie, he showed a lot. This is a player, if you remember, the Niners said they thought, so the Niners traded down from the second spot to the third spot. Correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but I think I got this right. The Niners in 2017 traded down. The Bears traded up to get Trubisky. And the Niners were talking about taking Foster top five. And they're like, you know what? There's just too much going on. We'll wait. And the Niners moved up late in the first round to get him. And the whole reason, when you see teams move up late in the first round, it's not just about wanting that player. It's about wanting that player on a rookie deal so you get a fifth-year option. You get them cheap, and you get them controlled for 5 years. That's why the Niners did that, and the Redskins made this move so they could keep that contract in place. From a pure football perspective, I get it, and I think you can even argue it was shrewd. It was an intelligent move, but I do not know that the juice will be worth the squeeze on this. I think there's almost competing viewpoints, right? There is the idea. I was on the radio with Dukes, and he was like, we live in an outraged society, and soon there'll be something new to be outraged about. And I agree with that. I think Foster and the Skins is the story in the NFL until the Saints play the Cowboys Thursday night, and then it kind of becomes back burner. But I don't think that necessarily means we should forget about it either. This is a guy with significant trouble this isn't a guy stealing cars. This isn't a guy hurting property. This is a societal problem that the NFL has grappled with that they claim they want to address. So I would imagine he's on the exempt list. And then if he does get cleared to come back, that he's facing a lengthy suspension, unless all this is proven to be completely bogus, which, you know, listening to Doug's statement, seems like that's possible too.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. Certainly, it's a long time out before, if this stuff ends up being, you know, coming to fruition, it's a long time out before the Redskins would ever see him on the field again. But I think in their eyes, it's almost cut and dry that if he's guilty, they cut him. If it's found out to be, you know, like the last case, whatever the circumstances were surrounding it, they have an opportunity to get a guy they have control of for a few years.
Great.
I get that the Niners made that move to jump into the first round to get that extra year, but now that's the same team who dropped him after this, and Kyle Shanahan called him very hard to trust. So it's cool to have that network of support, but I'm sure the Niners put a ton of support around him in San Fran and didn't do him any good. So maybe the college teammates can crack through, but I'm still really skeptical of a guy who's just been in so much trouble in such a short amount of time.
You also remember how much the Redskins liked him and going into that draft. So he's definitely been on their radar. He's definitely been on their radar.
Absolutely, but they didn't like him enough to draft him.
I think the off-field issues, I think probably scared them away a little bit.
Yeah, of course. I'm with Pete, though, man. I think you have to be highly, highly skeptical of this thing. And I don't know. I think, all right, binary vote, up or down. Knowing that from a straight football perspective, I think all three of us believe this is a shrewd, high reward, low risk from what they gave up. All they gave up was a waiver priority. They gave up nothing. From a football perspective, I think this is a strong move, a let's go get a player that can help us win games move, because that's the bottom line in this league. Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
Yes.
I think the Doug Williams statement, I think whoever wrote that, if it was Doug or if it was Wiley or whoever did that, is a very strong statement, and it's something that adds up. They're like, look, we don't know what happened. We're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. That is what this country is based upon, is being innocent until proven guilty, even when there is a considerable track record of possible misbehavior. But I think the statement nailed what they needed to say. Do we all agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's where I'm going with this. I think knowing that we all agree this was a strong football move, and knowing that Doug Williams' statement was as strong as it could be and really provided some semblance of light in a very ugly situation. So two of those things, I think they did very, very well. I still think this is the wrong move because some things have to be a little bit bigger than football. And I'm curious where you guys land on that.
Well, I think both things can be true. It's a strong football move, and it was the wrong move for this football team. And that's kind of the way that I look at it. If it turns out that this is another case of, you know, of misidentified domestic violence or whatever, then I still think you're take too big of a PR hit to make this move. And even as we look at, as we extend beyond this, I think it almost hamstrings the Redskins as you start looking in the offseason, not in roster spots, not in salary cap or anything like that. But this isn't something that's going to get decided in the next month, 2 months, 3 months. I mean, I think this is, you know, this might be midsummer training camp next year before we get any ruling on it. And is that going to cause the Redskins to hold back on, you know, filling a position of need if, you know, hoping / thinking that he's going to be coming back? I mean, obviously,
I think the bigger issue is that I tell you one thing. I think I believe the organization probably knew that he was going on the exempt list,
right?
And I believe, and I would expect the organization, and I would even add Reuben Foster to this. Any suspension that comes down, you better not appeal it. Don't let this thing drag on. Like, I think one of the few smart things Jameis Winston did was that when he got his suspension earlier this year, he just took it. There was no appeal. I think players in these sorts of situations, don't let it drag on. Now, you know, Zeke Elliott did the opposite, and still, I am not advising the players. I'm just telling you what I see. I think that would be the wise move.
Certainly from a PR perspective, that's get it taken care of. I mean, get it taken care of and move on from it. But I kind of agree with you. I don't love this move. I don't think that the juice will ever be worth the squeeze if what's being accused happened.
Yeah, I think you let this be someone else's problem. And I know they're in the business of winning football games, but for this to equate to wins down the line, it feels like so many things have to happen, and it's going to be such a headache along the way. And who knows how this will affect other parts of the team. It just let someone else claim him and be their problem. You know, it's just it's a lot to deal with.
Lot to unpack here. If this thing does pay off for the Skins, and I think it's a big if, right? I think more than likely it doesn't, frankly. But if it does, I don't think he plays until mid-October 2019. And not to mention, I think he's not healthy. I think he's dealing with hamstring issues and a shoulder problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think his injury could probably matter that much because, like you said, we're probably almost a year out from ever seeing him play, if ever. So whatever injuries he's dealing with, I'm sure will be healed by then.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think you make a good point. This is not a 2018 signing. I mean, this is not a signing for this season. I don't think there's any expectation that the Redskins will see him this year, potentially this whole offseason, you know, into training camp next year. This is not a situation that's going to be taken care of overnight and we're going to get a resolution to. So while maybe on an NFL level or a league-wide level, this story kind of goes away on Thursday once the Cowboys and Saints play, I think it kind of lingers around here for a while because there's going to be all the uncertainty. There's going to be the court dates. There's going to be the news drip, the information that comes out about what happened, what injuries were what he said, what he did, when he went to jail. All this stuff is just going to, over the next few days, weeks, months are going to be coming up. And that's why, as we talk about the juice being worth the squeeze, we're going to be locally in DC market and, probably a little beyond that, we're going to be dealing with, this signing here for a little bit. There's going to be news. There's going to be news.
What do you think of them kind of going to all these Alabama guys? Because Jonathan Allen seems like an incredible leader. I trust his judgment of character. And Ryan Anderson and Daron Payne, I know they're high character guys, we think so far, but I just, of course they're going to vouch for a guy they played with, I think. And I don't know if you want to go through them as the kind of main decision makers or have them really counsel. I think you should research it in a bunch of other ways too. I mean, they're former teammates. I feel like you would vouch for your former teammate in a lot of different cases and maybe even when it's not the smartest move.
Totally agree, Pete. I'm going to pull a Tandler law that isn't directly applicable, but Tandler always said never listen to players on injuries. I think you can stretch that to never listen to players' personnel assessments of former players that were their college roommates.
Yeah.
Yeah. And these players, not just the Alabama players, the whole team's going to have to deal with this now. People are going to be at, Jay's going to be the sacrificial lamb tomorrow afternoon when he sits at the podium and has to answer questions about it. And as much as
I imagine, don't you think Jay's going to say, Doug put out a statement, he's on the exempt list, there's nothing else to talk about at this point?
Sure, and I imagine the team will try and limit the number of questions that players have to answer, but players are going to have to answer this as well. I think it puts an unnecessary load of stress on a team that has a lot of things to concentrate on right now that are directly football related as far as 2018 is concerned.
But as far as the timing of this thing, they wanted the contract. You had to do it now. So to me, I don't think the timing is bad because the guy just got arrested and cut. The timing's not bad because they did it in, with a big week 12 game coming up against the Eagles. This was the only time you could do it.
Right.
That makes sense?
Of course.
There's going to be a lot more for us to discuss, but we had to give you kind of our initial reactions. If you guys have anything else to add, fire away.
No, I'm good with this.
Yeah, I think I am too.
Let's hope the next emergency pod is a better one.
Yeah, I hope I don't have to talk to you guys in like 6 more hours. I love you, but this has been a lot of podding for one day.
I know. What was the last emergency pod?
We had the urgency pod on Trent, but emergency pod...
Was it the other
one?
Yeah.
Well, and at the time, the trade for Ha-Ha, I think it was greeted with optimism. I don't think this is going to be greeted the same way.
Nope.
No, not as much.
There's an understatement. All right. Wednesday, practice at Redskins Park. It's going to be a total shit show. Here we go, fellas.
Hope you enjoyed your weekend off.
Right. Things just heated up.
Yep. All right. You know what? Gruden's going to be able to just say, hey, Doug Williams' statement, I'm not taking any more questions. But when we get into that locker room tomorrow, and John Allen and Ryan Anderson and Sean Dion Hamilton, Daron Payne, those guys are going to be staring down these questions. And that's going to be pretty interesting.
And they're not just going to be staring down questions from the faces that they recognize, the local sports reporters.
Oh, yeah. There's going to be a ton of national there tomorrow.
National news. They're going to have news reporters who have very strikingly different questions than sports reporters will have.
Dude, I was on radio and then just doing this podcast, so I haven't seen like the national reaction to everything. I think you could have like CNN MSNBC there tomorrow. Am I crazy?
That's what I was saying. No, I agree. I think tomorrow is going to be a wild day at Redskins Park.
Like, there's going to be satellite trucks in that parking lot, for sure.
Yep. Yes, there will.
Oh, all righty. Well, here we are, folks. If you made it, we haven't plugged anything. The good folks at Oarsman Automotive in Virginia, thanks to them. And come to the podcast party next Thursday. I actually had a couple awesome phone calls, one with Matchbox, one with Breaking Tea. We're going to have some really good giveaways, Wiz tickets, Caps tickets. We'll talk about that at a later date. Now it seems inappropriate. If you've made it this far, clearly you are an engaged sports fan, and we appreciate you, and we'll I owe you a beer. Later.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.